Matthew 25, we've been talking about commitment to stewardship, and tonight is kind of just a little bit of a wrap-up slash transition, because I'm going to start to kind of hit you where you live. Is that all right? It's a wallet. It's a pretty beat-up wallet. It's an empty wallet. That's where all you live, right? Yes, in empty wallet land. That's where I live. Okay, amen. But you know what? This is probably one of the biggest causes of problems in life, right? Finances, money, etc. Causes lots of problems, etc. So, but we're going to talk about something as we move forward, a commitment. But you know, we really need to talk about who owns everything. Because you don't, and I don't. Even the billionaires of the world don't. Governments don't. There's one who does. And it's all his. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for God's word, Matthew 25, I'm just going to read just a few verses here beginning in verse 14. You follow along silently. I'll read out loud. Beginning in verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them, read that with me real quick, his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according as his several ability, and straightway took his journey. If you skip down here, when he comes back in verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. There's an accountability here because they are what? Whose goods? His goods. Okay? And so he reckons with them, and one that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents, and behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained other 2 talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. God decided to put something in my life today that led me in that direction. I did not intend to have an accident today where my truck was ruined. And I say my truck, and I'm going to get to that in a moment. because, I speak differently than some people do, I guess you could say. Whenever I say something is mine, I really mean that it's God's. Okay? I have a dear wife. I call her my wife. And I think you're okay with that, right? Right? That's okay. Yeah, amen. But really, she belongs to God. When we got married, I gave her to God. And I think she did the same for me, I'm pretty sure. And, you know, however long God allows me to be with her, I'm gonna be glad for that, okay? And I'll take more than less, okay? But, you know, we say my wife, right? In 2000, I think, what did we decide? 2010, right? 2009. When we were coming back from a couples retreat, actually, the church had just approved a vehicle allowance for me. And you know, at the time, trying to juggle everything, we just really couldn't afford that before. And so they provided a vehicle allowance. And so we just happened to stop in at a dealership. And there just happened to be this beautiful dark blue Ford F-150 2002. With 94,000 miles, one owner, brand new Michelin tires on it, And they wanted more than I could afford for it. But I told them, I said, look, I've got $10,000. That's all I have. Sell it to me or not. And we went back and forth. And then finally I said, fine, I'm leaving. They said, okay, well, hold on just a minute. Don't leave. They sold me the truck for $10,000. And it was within the amount of money that I could get on a monthly basis. And so we did that. And, you know, over time, paid it off. And if you will, that truck's been my baby for the last 14 years. And so that's right, almost 15 years. So, but all along, and I'm okay saying this, I call it my truck, all right? But when I first got it, I told God, this is your truck. And so I'd always tell people, you know, if I was always this way, and I've been this way for some of you. If anybody ever needed a truck, here, take my truck. You know, it's God's, you know, you can use it. It's God's truck. Take care of it, you know, and whatever, bring it back. Hopefully I can have it back. But you know, can I tell you something? I'm in a good frame of mind. I'm a little sad. And I hope maybe by some chance I can, you know, it can be fixed. I doubt it, but maybe not. But here's the thing. It's okay. Because it's His. And that's okay. We can go through life. We don't have to be attached to these things. Listen, it's nice when money comes in. But if it goes away, it's okay. Vehicles come and go. Houses come and go. Jobs, Brother Frankie, jobs come and go. Finances come and go. Sometimes it's feast, sometimes it's famine. A lot of times it's still famine, you know, whatever it may be. I remember when we first got married, we didn't really have much. You know, we ate a lot of ramen noodles, we ate a lot of hot dogs, we ate a lot of turkey loaf, macaroni and cheese, sometimes, you know, sometimes there's not, and then sometimes we get to go have supper at a steakhouse. You know, I mean, things come and go. But here's the thing. If we get attached to this world and the things of this world, then we're not serving the master like we should. In our parable here, we have three accounts of individuals. Two of them were serving and were committed to the master. They said, hey, this master has bestowed upon us these things, and I'm going to serve him. You notice when he came back, they didn't run away and hide, right? They didn't try to, you know, sneak away some for themselves. They brought the five, and they brought the other five, and the one brought the two, and he brought the other two, because they belonged to the master. And it was all his. None of it was theirs. They didn't say, oh, well, let me have my share here off the top, and I'll give you the rest. That didn't take place. Turn your Bibles over to Luke 16. And really, all I want to do tonight is just to get you to really focus in. And you may be focused in on this already. But focus in on your commitment to the master. Because all of it is his. So as we talk about stewardship, being a good manager of what God bestows upon us, do you really have it settled that it's his? If he takes it all away, so be it. My dear friend, we've prayed for him. I got to see him. I didn't get a chance to go by and see the house, but Pastor Dan Woodward up in Illinois at football camp, his house burned. They lost everything. It's all gone. And yet he can get up there and lead a camp and minister to the boys and just tell how good God is. Listen, I understand the sentimental value of things, and things make us sad, but don't be attached to them. Be attached to the master. He's the one that we need to focus on. Look here at Luke 16. You'll recognize this particular parable or story, if you will. We understand that he said to his disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a steward, And the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. So the steward wasted the goods of the master. Okay, remember in our first parable we talked about, he delivered unto them his goods. These things were his. And the servants, when they came back, said, here's what's yours. This is yours. So it never was the servants. And again, I use the terminology, and I guess I really don't mean it when I say it, that something's mine. Because I say that it's mine, and I'm quite possessive, if you will, but I'm possessive of God's things. They're mine to manage. I probably should learn to use different terminology. I guess it's just ingrained in my head. I think most of us do that, don't we? And maybe I should change my spots. It's hard to change spots that we have. But this man was accused of wasting the master's goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest no longer be, thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. And he goes through this thing here, but the whole point is, he said, look, why have you done this to my stuff? It's mine. And I wonder sometimes, church, if we don't appear that way in God's eyes. Because we've taken what God has lent to us, if you will, and that we can apply this to every area. It doesn't have to just be applied to money or material possessions or finances, etc. Let me just throw one out there. What about our children? Did you know that children are a heritage of the Lord? Okay? Even though those 13 little heads over here, actually only 12 tonight, one's in Kentucky, these little things here, and some of the bigger things, yes, I know, you're growing. They're all bigger than me, my boys are anyways. But I call them mine, just like you call yours yours, but they're really not mine. They're God's. And if I'm an unjust steward in children, don't you think God's going to say, hey, why are you doing this to my stuff? Right? And subsequently, finances, material possessions, God gets out the reckoning book, he gets out the accounting book, and he says, I don't think I like how you're working with my stuff. You may no longer be steward of those things for much longer. And we could say the same about the abilities that God has given us. God has given us abilities to use for his glory. If we use them for our own glory, that's not a good use of it. And he's looking down from heaven saying, I don't like how you're using my stuff. It says, how, and what does he, is he going to ask you, how is it that I hear this of thee? This is personal. God knows our name. He knows everything about us. He knows the number of hairs that are on my head and were on my head and won't be on my head tomorrow. Right? And he looks at me and he says, Eric, how hear I this of thee? That you didn't use this, or you didn't do this with what I bestowed upon you. He says, you need to give an account of your stewardship. And I'm going to say to myself, well, if he takes this away from me, what am I going to do? Because listen, folks. I have and am nothing. I realized that a long time ago. That with all my faults and failures, I know I don't deserve heaven. I know I don't even deserve to be here in this place. Folks, I don't deserve to have a beautiful wife. I don't deserve to have 13 beautiful children. I don't deserve to be here as the leader of the church. I don't. And for that matter, why am I even here? I don't know why God would even choose me. But he has. And I need to be a good steward. Because I'm committed to him. These are his things. We're gonna talk more about this in the future. This is kind of just an introduction here as we transition to talk about how we're gonna be committed in stewarding the possessions that God has allowed us to oversee. And I really want to, in my own life, I want to kind of change it from that's mine and that's mine and that's mine, because that's pretty selfish. That's pretty human, right? So I'm going to try not to be as human as I normally am. But that's going to be difficult, right? We all struggle with that. But let's consider some things of how the Bible talks about how God owns everything. Okay, just a few scriptures and we'll be done tonight. The earth is the Lord's. This is Psalm 24. And the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. So whose is it? Okay. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Psalm 50, verses 7 through 12. David writes, "Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he-goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and all the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof." Right? That's pretty amazing, right? These are all God's. Psalm 89, verses 8 through 12. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces. As one that is slain, thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine. The earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south, thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. It's all God's. And guess what? Even to the heathen, they're often brought to the place where they realize that it's all God's. Remember a guy named Pharaoh? Right? Remember the first encounter that Moses and Aaron had with Pharaoh? He's like, "Who is this God? I don't know this God. I don't recognize this God." Well, guess what? Down toward the end of things, he changed his mind. In Exodus 9, it says, "And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have sinned this time." The capital L-O-R-D, the Lord, is righteous. He's acknowledging God, that he exists, the very existence of God. And he says this, "I and my people are wicked." That's amazing. "Entreat the Lord, for it is enough, that there be no more mighty thunderings and hail. I will let you go, and ye shall stay no longer." And Moses said unto him, "As soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands unto the Lord, and the thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail, that thou mayest know how that the earth is the Lord's." That's what Moses said. In Exodus 19, After all of this was done, God is speaking to his people, and you know, they're having a hard time with God for some reason. I don't know why. They just witnessed all this stuff. But here's what God says to them. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then shall ye be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. That's what God told Moses. So listen. How is it that Aaron and the people, they put this gold into the fire and out jumps a god, and that's who they worship? Right? How is that? So I read some of these passages to help remind us, how soon do we forget to whom all this belongs? If the people of Israel could go through what they went through with the plagues and coming out of Egypt and the parting of the Red Sea and the curing of the water and the manna and all the things that had happened, and then, oh, we're going to worship this golden calf that jumped out of the fire. What? There wasn't that much time that passed between that. Do you understand that? So, just like the parable, this man had forgotten who these things belonged to. And he was just dealing them out. However, he was not a very good steward. Until the day of reckoning came, and the master said, hey, how is it that I heard this about you? That you're doing this? It's because he had forgotten to whom it all belonged. He had forgotten his commitment to the master. In Job, boy, I could go on for hours about Job. But God was rebuking Job and told Job, who hath prevented me that I should repay him? Who whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine. He said, Job, I'm in control of everything. This whole passage talking about Leviathan and you know how that can all happen and all that stuff and how Job could alter that, and he can't. He's like, Job, I'm in control of everything. Even your circumstance that you've lost 10 children, all your wealth, and your wife is mad at you. Yeah. He's in control. And your best friends are your worst enemies. I'm in control of it all. In Haggai, now look, I forgot Leviticus. Leviticus 25. God was giving them directions about the land. He said about land that it should not be sold forever. You know, God had a limit. Remember the year of Jubilee and how all that was supposed to happen and things supposed to go back to the people that had been given to, etc. He said, the reason why is because the land is mine. That's what God said in Leviticus. He said, you can't sell it forever because the land is mine. You can sell it for a time, but then it needs to come back to you because I'm the one that gave it to you. I'm the one that imparted it. And you're not allowed to undo that. Because I'm the master. I'm the God. I'm in control. In Haggai chapter 2, verses 6 through 9, he says, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, all desire, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill his house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. He's reminding us that it's all his. Ecclesiastes, Solomon writes, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, While the sun or the moon or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and grinders shall cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, the desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. You know what he's saying there? God's the one that gave you life, and in the end, it's going to return to him. Why? Because it's his. It's all his. And then lastly tonight, just think about this. If you want to, you can turn to 1 Chronicles 29. David is coming toward the end of his life. And in verse 10, he begins to pray and talk to God about these things. And he says, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might. And in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I? And what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. I love that statement. And of thine own we have given thee. He's talking about the offerings and the things that they brought into the house of God to prepare for the house of God and to build the temple. He said, God, it's all yours, and we've given you out of what's yours. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee in house, for thine holy name cometh of thine hand, and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart, and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. Now, if you just keep that in mind, what David said, and then think back to this story of the unjust steward. As he considers his fate, he realizes that his hand's been caught, you know, in the cookie jar, and he's about to be fired. Okay, so he says that I'm going to change my ways. And he goes and he tries to make some of these things right. And in verse 8, the Bible says, the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. You know what? The steward could have just said, oh well, there's nothing I can do now. It's all done. And I guess suffered whatever punishment was coming of him, right? But he didn't do that. He instead did wisely. He changed his perspective. He said, oh no, I'm in trouble. I need to change my ways. And that's where we are today. As we learn and as we gain wisdom, as we start to see things from the scriptures, or maybe we knew that, but we've digressed or maybe backslidden or fallen away, we need to say, oh no, I need to change my ways. I need to change how I think about the things that I have possession of. Again, like I've illustrated, just because we have possession of them now doesn't mean they're ours. You see, but that's what the world says, that's what it is, right? You know, you've heard finders, keepers, losers, weepers, right? As kids. But we're not talking about the world. We're talking about our God. I think we should have the mindset that David had. You go through and read that in 1 Chronicles again. Boy, that was it right there. I mean, no wonder he was called a man after God's own heart. He got it in some areas. Now, he made some mistakes in other areas, right? But in this one, boy, that's a sincere way to think about your God. That he owns it all. And we're just giving to him out of what's his. It's all his. And we need to be committed to the owner. Committed to the master. Committed to our God and his possessions. They're his.